Genesis chapter 24 tonight. Genesis chapter number 24. We're dealing with this chapter. We've entitled it The Search for the Bride, and captioning that with Failure is Not an Option. By the way, I hope you don't live your Christian life expecting to fail. Now, we're all going to fall because we're flesh, but you ought not be cool with it. You ought not be satisfied with failure. You ought not be fine with messing up. Well, God doesn't have a lot to work with. No, he doesn't, but you got a lot with him living inside of you. So failure's not an option. And we're going to watch somebody on a mission. There's a job that needs to be done in Genesis 24. There's no room for oops or my bad. Can't mess this up. Not in Genesis 24 and not in September of 2018. Amen. Let's get it right. Amen. For the glory of God. Now, for sake of time, let's pick up, if we could. There are so many verses that we could read here. Let's pick up in verse number 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, and I drink, and I will give thee the camel's drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Let the church say amen. Now, Father, help us as we move through so many verses, so many principles, but there's so much we need to learn. Help us. Help us to have ears to hear, hearts to listen, minds to obey, and a will to live for you. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're moving our way, as you're seated, through the life of Abraham. And we watched him from the time that God found him and called him out. God promised that he would give to him and Sarah a son. God did what he promised. Somebody say amen. And now Sarah's dead. Chapter 23, we talked about dealing with death in the family. Chapter 24, Abraham's not dead, but he's getting closer. And before he goes, there's something he wants to accomplish. He wants to make sure it's right. He wants to make sure that it does what God's intended for it to do. And in order for it to happen, he needs God's help. It's the search for the bride. We saw, if you would, Abraham's particular status. He was in living brevity. Life was soon to end. He had enjoyed loaded blessings. God had been good to him. And therefore, he was faced with a lingering burden. Could I tell you, if you're sitting here tonight, you're in the middle of living brevity. At any moment, we can leave planet Earth. Life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. You're sitting here tonight, you're also on the receiving end of loaded blessings. Let the blessed of the Lord say amen. We've been blessed, amen. Beyond measure, we've been blessed. We've been given more than what we deserve. God is better to us than we can be to ourselves. And our blessings ought to lead us to burdens. He was burdened. It's not right that you've given me Isaac and I don't do my part in making sure that the blessing that you've given to me is stewarded properly with the right wife. In other words, you did a miracle when you gave me that boy. You opened up my wife's womb. She couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. We had already tried to go around you and found out you don't need our help. And now we've waited on you and you've answered our prayer. And it's not right for me to enjoy the blessings without the burden of handling them properly. Now hear me now, beloved. The more blessed you are, the more burdened you ought to be to do the right thing with those blessings. You got the gospel, you need to handle it right. You got a family, you need to handle it right. If you got a marriage, you need to handle it right. If you got kids, you need to handle them right. If you got parents, you need to listen. If you got freedom, we live in America. We're free. Somebody say amen. Now, if you're blessed to be free, then be burdened by those blessings to do the right thing with your freedom. So now he's got a servant he's going to choose. We saw the particular status and now the paramount submission. You can't go around it. If you're not going to fail in the Christian life, submission is paramount. You hear me? I said, if you're not going to fail in the Christian life, submission is paramount. Somebody's light bulb ought to come on right about now. No wonder I keep failing. I'm struggling with this area of submission. And no wonder I keep running into a brick wall. I keep falling into the same ditch. I keep making the same mistake. I'm trying to accomplish the will of God and bypass submission. Hear me now. You can't do it. The servant's worthiness, if you would. He found him a servant that had proven himself. I hope you and I are those kind of servants. The spoken wishes. He told the servant what he wanted to be done. And by the way, we got a Bible full of verses that represents God's telling us what he wants to be done. We're not living world playing guess at it. We're not living the Christian life trying to experiment our way through. Aren't you glad that when you get up in the morning, you don't have to go, what should I do today? Aren't you glad you got a road map? Amen. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Aren't you glad you got a manual? Aren't you glad you got a lesson plan? And listen to me, the servant was on a mission, but he wasn't on a mission without direction. He was given wishes. Now watch this now. This servant's worthiness, these spoken wishes. Now look here, if you would, at the next verse. Thou shalt go unto my kindred, my country, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. We find, if you would, the next verse says, well, what if? Subsequent worry. What if things don't go well? Anybody in the Christian life read your Bible, heard God's instructions, and after you've heard his instructions, immediately you thought, what if? God, I know you told me this is what I'm supposed to do. I know you told me this is where I'm supposed to go. I know you told me this is how I'm supposed to act. I know you told me this is how I'm supposed to behave, but what if? I know I'm supposed to give that gospel, but what if they turn it down? I know I'm supposed to tithe, but what if I run out of money? I know I'm supposed to be faithful, but what if while being faithful, people aren't agreeable to it? Listen to me. We serve God as servants of God, and oftentimes we get hung up on the what ifs. There was subsequent worry, and yet he told him his sovereign will. This is what I want. He gave him, if you would, a stern warning. Beware that thou bring not my servant thither again. Here's what Abraham's saying. I don't care what goes wrong. I don't care what derails. I don't care how much she refuses. I've set up some rules. I've set up some regulations, and no circumstances should cause you to violate my will. There's too much of Christianity. Too much of Christianity that we excuse as okay because of circumstances. Well, God, I didn't obey you, but I have a good explanation for it. God, I didn't do it. That's Saul, right? By the way, let's go way back before Saul. Let's go to Adam. Huh? Adam, did I not tell you? Yeah, but that woman you gave me. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're going to have to learn how not to break the rules even when it's hard. Come on. And by the way, we are living in perilous times. The convenient way of Christianity is break the rules, move the signs, lower the goalposts. Watch this now. It's so easy. And by the way, that's why we have a world that's messing with marriage. They're messing with sanctity of life. They're messing with God's intention for men and women. They're messing with the blurring of the gender. Listen to me now. You know why? Because it's easier to change the rules than it is to live by character. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to keep from failing in this thing called the Christian life, no matter what happens, stick with the rules. Give him a stern warning. Stern. Don't you bring Isaac to her. You bring her back. Amen. Notice he said the Lord God of heaven. What a blessing. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Aren't you glad that even when circumstances can potentially go wrong, that God is still able? Amen. Notice he gave him a very sensitive wording, if you would. God's going to come through. I can't explain what the woman's going to say. I can't explain what's going to happen when you get there. I can't predict how the circumstances are going to go. But one thing I know, that God that called me out of the Ur of the Chaldees, that God that's been with me every step of the way, he'll send his angel. He'll make sure I'm taken care of, and you will be too. Aren't you glad, folks, that you don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow? Listen, you got to listen to the sensitive wording of God. This is what God telling you. And when I say sensitive wording, it was Abraham's way of saying, I know this is not easy. I know this is not convenient. I know this is not simple. I know this is not cinchy, but I want to tell you something. God has already gone before you, and God is going to go with you, and God is going to take care of you. Pastor, why are you preaching this tonight? Because I know I'm talking to some people that are engaged in the middle of a difficult task. By the way, if you're serving the Lord today, it's not easy to serve God in 2018. And sometimes you feel like you're beating your head against the wall. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to live faithful. But all of these what ifs and all of these what had happens and all of these things happening. Some of you are going to a job tomorrow that's bigger than you. You're facing mountains in front of you that are bigger than you. You're down in valleys that are lower than you've ever been. And you're going, God, what am I going to do at the end of the month? God, what am I going to do with this project? God, what am I going to do with this illness? God, what am I going to do with this family calamity? And you're so stressed out on the what ifs. I'm simply saying, push those aside tonight and be confident in the fact that the God that saved you and the God that sustained you and the God that's been faithful, he ain't going to leave you now. And this is what he's saying to this servant. Look. We're not going to spend all this time talking about all of the potential scenarios where something could go wrong. Let's forget about all that. And just let me let you know, however he decides, God's going to take care of you. That's all I can tell you. Some of you looking at your watch. Not for when I'm going to finish preaching, but for when Mr. Wright's going to come along. You're looking and wondering. I was saying to somebody the other day, I would not want to try to have to find the right person to marry in today's climate. It's tough. I look at these single adults, I pray for them. I want to see God bless them. I mean, even the ones that come in good packages sometimes turn out to be duds. I mean, you look and you go, this is a church one, and this is a good-looking one, and this is a talented one, and sometimes they be the worst one. Yeah. I'm boys, girls, girls, boys. I'm talking about either way. Not everything that glitters is gold. Yeah. Amen. Some pigs have bow ties on, but they still pigs. Come on. You take him out the hood, but you can't take the hood out of him. Come on now. Now listen, here's what I'm saying. And yet, here you are. You got all these verses in the Bible that talk about don't be unequally yoked together. And can two walk together except they be agreed? And you're going, I heard you, God. I'm just trying to find somebody I agree with. And then you, as a parent, you're thinking, oh, I want my child to marry the right person. I want them to wait on the right one. I don't want them to get messed up in the wrong marriage. Come on, anybody believe that as a parent? I mean, you want that. And then right after you say, God, I know what your word says, all of these what ifs come. What if he's a liar? What if he's a fool? What if she turned? What if I turn into an old maid? All of these things, these are real, legitimate worries. These single adults are thinking, when? Listen, I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. I can't tell you where. I can't tell you who. But what I can tell you, if God can reach down into miry clay and save you from hell and cleanse you from sin and adopt you into the family and guarantee you heaven and indwell you with the Holy Ghost of God, somehow, some way, in his own way, he can find that somebody for you. But you got to believe that no matter what happens, you're not going to bend the rules. Okay? This is what Abraham's saying. Because along the way, there are going to be some hiccups. Huh? Don't let hiccups cause you to mess up. And then there was a sworn word. Verse 9. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham. This was custom, tradition. This was the way he swore to his master concerning the matter. Now, we don't do that. Okay? No man putting his hand under my thigh. Okay? So I'm not preaching on the particular custom. But I am in agreement with the principle, and here's what I'm saying. I think we've lost a day and age where you can actually get people to make a promise and keep it. Come on, help me preach now. We need to get some Christian people in 2018 who can still look somebody else in the face and say, I'll do what I said I was going to do. And moreover, we need some servants of God who will actually come up at an altar and in their own way say, God, I make a promise. I can't figure out all the detail. I haven't got it all spelled out and haven't gotten it all written out. But you mark it down, God. I'm your servant. And if you're going to be with me, I'm making a promise that I'm going to do this thing your way. That's submission. Can God get a sworn word out of you tonight? Huh? You know why people today don't want to make promises? Because they don't have any character. And by not making a promise, they avoid obligating themselves to something. People with character aren't afraid to make promises. I said people with character are not afraid to make promises. People that aren't are afraid. Some of them aren't afraid. They just keep lying. Huh? They've done it so much that they're used to saying something that they don't do. Listen to me, beloved. Failure's not an option. But I'm telling you, in the Christian life, you can't live in this scary corridor of Christianity going, I'm never going to sign on to anything for the Lord because I'm too afraid I won't keep it. You got to believe that the master that is commissioning you is the same master that is going to make sure you're competent enough to keep. Listen to me. God ain't throwing me out in the game ready to watch me lose. He's throwing me in the game saying he's joining the game with me. May God help us. We need in these last days, and I'm telling you right here at Crossroads Baptist Church, some saints of God who are not afraid to say, I make a promise, I'm going to live for God. By the way, I'm not picking on the singles tonight, and I'm not highlighting them. But we live in a world today where a lot of people don't want to get married because they're scared of commitment. Pascal, stop nudging Keisha. I saw that. She ain't the problem. You don't even know the words to the hymns. Be nudging her. You messed up. They always laugh and talk, but Pastor, you see everything. Yes, I saw you nudging her. He's nudging her saying, I'm not afraid of commitment because we get married in December. Finally got something in the message you could claim. Amen. But it's a shame when we got a Bible that's full of instructions from God and we shy away from promises because we're too afraid we'll break them. Faithful is he who called you who also will do it. Come on now. Let's start believing God, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus. Some people don't want to go to the altar because they're too afraid that what they tell God, they actually got to live. I want to tell you, you ought to be too afraid of not telling God something. Come on, you can't live your Christian life on the way, standing way back away from all the action, talking about, I don't want to get too close, I might get hit with something. Let me tell you something, nothing will make you more tired than something will. Some of you catch that tomorrow. You spend your life doing nothing, you'll be more worn out than busy people. Just tired watching everybody do everything. You can get worn out that way. Jump in. Get your uniform dirty. Do something for God. Foul somebody. Get in the books. I'm just saying, there's too much to do in the Christian life to sit around and do nothing. But I'm going to let God down. Yeah, you will, but you can get back up again. Amen. Determined by the grace of God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you got to make a promise even before you know how it's going to turn out. You got to believe God. Let me give you a few more thoughts tonight. Number three, particular status. Paramount submission. Number three, proceeding supplication. Now, when I say proceeding supplication, here's what I mean. You got to learn not to pray as to whether or not you should go. You got to learn how to pray why you're going. Did anybody listen to me tonight? In other words, you can't stay back at the house going, oh, should I obey my master? 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 God, I'm waiting for a word. No. You don't need a word from God of whether to obey your master. Somebody listen to me preach. Stop praying about whether or not you should obey the Bible. Amen. No. That prayer does not, you don't need to waste your time or God's time asking, that verse in the Bible, should I do what you said? Yes, you should. You need to spend time praying while you're going so that God will help you do what you should do. Don't pray asking him if you should do it. This is proceeding supplication. So listen, too many Christians are standing back praying, God, well, Pastor, pray for me that I learn to start soul winning. No, start soul winning and pray to God help you be a good soul winner. Proceeding supplication. I'm going. I'm scared. I'm nervous, I'm clueless, but I'm going. And by the way, Abraham was sending him on a mission that this fella knew no idea how he would accomplish it. That's kind of mean of Abraham. No, it wasn't. Abraham had done the same thing before. He'd left. He'd gone up a mountain not knowing how this thing was going to turn out with Isaac. And now he's telling his servant in his old age, I'm not asking you to do something I haven't done. And by the way, when you say, Lord, Jesus, Christian life is so hard. God, this, you're so mean to do it. Wait a minute. Jesus isn't asking you to do something he hadn't done. Amen. He left the portals of glory and walked this wicked earth and died for the sins of mankind. When he asked you to commit yourself to him, just remember, he gave his life for you. Proceeding supplication begins with number one, a supreme resource. Look at the verse and we'll close. And the servant took 10 camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Verse 11, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of the water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw a water. Write down, by the way, before you put supreme resource, write down steady resolve. Here he is leaving with everything in hand. He's got the animals. He's got the camels. He makes the camels kneel down outside the city, the well of the water, at the time of the... Listen, he's doing everything in his power to obey his master. Now listen, some of you say, I need God to intervene. Wait. Don't ask God to do for you what you can do for yourself. Now you, listen, you can't abracadabra and voila Rebecca. Okay? You can't wave a wand and make Rebecca pop up, but you can leave the house and take the camels with you. Amen. Listen to me. You can't make everything go right in your life tomorrow morning, but you can get up in the morning and spend time in God's word. Do your part. Steady resolve. I'm leaving the house with what I can control. Animals, and we're kneeling by the well. Why? Because this is where the women show up. I can't make the impossible happen, but what is in my power, I'll do. I don't know which one she is, but I'm going to the best spot where I can find her. Amen. Now, there are a lot of things in the Christian life we can't figure out. But one of the things you better figure out is you better learn how to get to the spot where you can find it. Amen. God's word, church, godly people. I'm talking about practical Christianity. So many people are sitting back and saying, God, I just want you to give me this whole package. You got to do your part. There's a supreme resource. Now you've got that down. Steady resolve, but there's a supreme resource. Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee. Lord God. Now we're talking about supplication. Failure's not an option. Pastor, why do I continue to fail? It might be a submission problem, but it also might be a supplication problem. You might be continually failing because you have forgotten to pray.
Well, Pastor, I don't really like messages about prayer because they're not very exciting and there's not a lot to shout about, and it's, you know, not really, nobody's going to get up and click their heel on a prayer message. Let me tell you, you want to get through to God, you better learn how to pray. I said you better learn how to pray, not just before you leave, while you're going. I make it a practice every time I pull out somewhere. I don't care where I pull out. If I leave here and go up the street, 7 Food Store, I pray before I get 7 Food Store. I go in 7 Food Store, I come back out, 7 Food Store, and I pray, Lord, let me go to the next place. I need God every place I go. Amen. But I don't just pray before I pull out. I pray along the way. Amen. I say I pray along the way. And there's some wackos out there. I'm talking about some real wackos. I'm talking about some crazy wackos. I'm talking about some rude wackos that road rage. And I don't do very well with those. Sometimes you're tempted to join them. Amen. You got to pray. I mean, if I'm going to honk back or I'm going to pray. Huh? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Lord God, I want to ask you a question. You try not to fail? Who do you spend the most time asking for help? Boy, this is this thing I'm really burdened about getting this thing done in my life. I really am. Can I ask you, how much time you spend praying about? Well, I'm so busy. Busy failing. Why in the world would you have access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and spend time asking human beings to do what only he can do?
Lord God, Lord Jehovah God, Elohim. You hear me now? Those two words mean self-existent and supreme. The one who needs nobody to exist. The one who has nobody over him. I get to talk to you. Somebody's on a task that you cannot afford to fail, and yet you have no clue how you're going to succeed. My friend, as simple as it seems, I'm here to tell you tonight, pray. Wow.
Pray often. You're burdened tonight about something that you feel like you're running out of time to accomplish? You better learn how to pray. You better learn. If you don't, you're bound to fail. My prayer list is situated in my Bible at Luke 18. That's where I keep it. Because that passage says men ought always to pray and not faint. Huh? You've heard me say it. I've known great preachers. I'm talking about behind a pulpit. They were passionate, fervent, convincing, skilled, masterful orators. Some of them in jail. Some of them are dead. Some of them on their next wife. Because accomplishing the will of God will not be contingent on how good of a preacher you are. I've known a lot of preaching men
that fail, but I don't know praying men that do. I've known some great singers that sung their way right into carnality, right into hypocrisy. They left a stage on Sunday shouting and got in a car and lived like the devil. And most of these gospel, most of these great singers in the world today, especially the black folk, started in the church. Got all the experience from God and then use it for the devil. And then got the nerve to thank God for helping them act a fool. I want to thank my Lord and say, mute. Don't be crediting God for your foolishness. He gave you the gift, but not to use it for the glory of the devil. They got their foundation in the church, and now they're out there singing, making dollars for the world. The love of money is the root of all it. Not money, the love of it. Come on. They started the right place, but they ended up the wrong place. Well, Pastor, why? Somewhere along the way, they got good at something and quit asking God for help. They quit praying. Now, you're going to face something that you can't pull off. You're already doing it. You think about it while I'm talking. You're in a way bigger scenario than you bargained for. I'm telling you to learn how to pray. Proceeding supplication. And by the way, don't quit doing what you're supposed to do and pray. Keep doing what you're supposed to do and pray. And along the way, you're going to find out that not only are you on a mission for him, but you are on a mission with him. Our Father, thank you. I know I'm preaching a burden, people. We got a lot on our plate. We try to live for you. Whew. My, oh my. Help us. I pray for these singles. I pray for these mamas. I pray for these new married couples. I pray for these grandparents. I pray for these folks going through tough financial calamity. I pray for these church members that are starting new jobs with huge responsibilities. I pray for these school teachers that are challenged by students and coworkers. These managers that have to manage people and personalities. And we often feel like this is above my pay grade. But I'm glad it ain't above yours. Help us. Forgive us for not praying more. And help us to proceed, but not without supplication. In Jesus' name, amen.